Hi everyone, my name is Pastor Rob. I'm with Wilton Baptist Church, and welcome to our midweek message. We are in the book of Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and the title of the series is Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Jesus took his disciples, he went up the mountain, he sat down, and then he began to teach them. And we've been looking at the various sections. We started off with the communication there in Matthew chapter 5, then we looked at the Beatitudes. And then last week, we looked at the responsibility that we have as the salt and the light. And then this week, we're going to look at obedience to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and learn from it. Lord, help us to realize that obeying you is absolutely necessary. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, we see the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and we saw to begin with how he opened up the conversation with them, and then after that he went into the Beatitudes, and we looked at that particular section. Jesus talks about what it is to be a blessing, and I encourage you to go back and to read these and then study these out. Each one of these verses and sections and attributes, it would take a long time. This week we're looking at basically starting in verse 18 all the way to the end of the chapter, and Jesus is clarifying what it means to be a follower of God, a follower of Christ. He's telling us what it takes to do good. Christianity, I want everybody to think about it, is not a feel-good religion. It is a do-good religion. He hasn't called us just to work if we feel like it or if we feel good, and if we don't feel good, then we can do whatever we want. And matter of fact, a lot of times it doesn't feel good. You tell somebody about Jesus Christ and they reject you. Rejection never feels good. It isn't a good thing. When people, and then you realize you reject Jesus Christ and you realize that eternity is on the line. A lot of prayer goes into that, and we have to get over that. Well, people reject, people don't care, so therefore I'm not going to serve, I'm not going to do right, I'm not going to do good. That isn't what Christ wants us to do. Doing good is important. It is needed. It's essential in following Jesus Christ. And so we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "For verily I say unto you," and then verse 20, "I say unto you," and then verse 21, "you have heard," and verse 22, "I say unto you," and then verse 26, "verily I say unto you," verse 27, "you have heard," verse 28, "I say unto you." He's giving them, he's clarifying here what it means in following Christ and making sure that we do good. The Bible tells us in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." It's actually a question mark, because the question is, doesn't God show us what we need to do? Jesus Christ here in Matthew chapter 5, he's telling us how to obey, how to live. God does instruct us to do good. So if Jesus is taking the time to instruct us in obeying and doing right and doing good, then obviously it is important. He tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Are you blessed? Absolutely. Look at verse 18. That they do good. That's the charge. "That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." We need to be rich in good works. James chapter 4, verse 17, he says this, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Obedience is needed. Doing right is important. Doing good is, well, to not do good, it's sin. To do good is what God would have us to do. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, Saul learned this the hard way. To obey is better than sacrifice. Saul said, "I'm going to sacrifice and feel good about what I'm doing and make the people feel good." God said, "It isn't about feeling good, it's about doing good." Now, when we do good, we receive the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We receive the peace that passeth understanding. We have fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose. It goes beyond just a temporary feeling good. We need to obey Christ. And when we obey Christ, we see here in Matthew chapter 5, when we obey Christ, it isn't open for interpretation. I love how he says in verse 21, you have heard, but in verse 22, he says, but I say unto you, you've heard that you shall not kill, but in verse 21, I say you shouldn't even be angry without cause. In verse 27, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. What mankind started doing was interpreting how they were going to obey and to follow Jesus. And people do this all the time. We like to justify what we do or we don't do for Christ. And what he is telling us here in Matthew chapter 5, when we obey Christ, it isn't open to our interpretation. It isn't open to a particular religious interpretation. Jesus Christ is the one that teaches us how to obey and exactly how to obey. In these particular instances, he's like, look, it isn't just about the actions that we see. It's about the heart that leads to those actions as well. Your hands aren't the only thing that needs to be right. Your mind and your heart need to be right as well. The phrase of, well, I can look and not touch. Not according to Jesus. You shouldn't even be wanting to look. Or as long as I don't murder anybody, well, at least I didn't murder anyone. Well, you really shouldn't be hating on people either as well. When we obey Christ, understand it isn't open to our interpretation or our perspective. It is about following Jesus and obeying Jesus the way that he would want us to. Also, when we obey Christ, it isn't just about you and Jesus. When we have the attitude of, well, my relationship with Christ and my walk with Christ is just between Christ and I, and it's nobody else's business, when we see here, what we see in Matthew chapter 5 really dispels that notion. If he tells us that we shouldn't murder, but not only should we not murder, but we should not hate, he's not talking about ourselves. He's talking about other people in our lives, specifically brothers here. He says, whosoever's angry with his brother without a cause. When I obey Christ and I have the right attitude with Jesus, I'm going to have the right attitude with people. When, obviously, we shouldn't commit adultery, but we shouldn't be looking at people and lusting after people that, other people. You need to have the right relationship with your wife. You need to have the right relationship with your husband and work on that relationship and not look for other relationships. Obeying Christ in this isn't just between you and Jesus. It's obviously going to be between you and your spouse and other people around you as well. Verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And he goes on, he says, you guys have been taking divorces way too easy. I don't. And we know the cause and effects of that. You can see that in the United States of America. We have one of the weakest family units in all of the civilized world. When we don't obey Christ and do what Christ would have us to do the way that we need to do it, it's not only going to affect you and your relationship with Jesus, but it is going to affect others as well. Obeying Christ isn't just about you and Jesus. You can go on, verse 38, you've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Wow. If somebody insults you, don't insult them back. That doesn't get anyone anywhere. It's like junior high all over again. Well, I can trash talk you better than you can trash talk me. And we find ourselves in that. Well, they said this about me. And what do? We, well, I'm going to say this about them. What does Jesus say? He's in obeying me, which isn't open for interpretation. If they insult you, let them keep insulting you. We're not talking about self-defense. We're not talking about defending your home. If they smite your cheek, let them smite the other cheek. In verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Wow. Obeying Christ, not open for interpretation. And when I obey Christ, it isn't just about me and Jesus. It's about me and Jesus and the others around me as well. Obeying Christ, doing good. It's needed. It's necessary. It isn't open for interpretation. It isn't just about me and Jesus. Obeying Christ also isn't for the faint of heart. I can imagine as Jesus is sitting here and he keeps going over all these, you have heard, but let me tell you. You have heard, but let me tell you. You have heard, but let me tell you. It's like, oh, what? Are you kidding? What? Even when I talk to people now, there's always these what ifs. You really shouldn't hate anybody. You really shouldn't lie. You shouldn't really get a divorce. I tell people, you know, I say, with the Bible, people say, what does the Bible say about this? And you know what they like to do? Well, what if? Are you in that particular situation? No. But they're already looking for a way out, even though they're not even in it. Obeying Christ isn't for the faint of heart. If you're going to obey Christ, your heart has to be in it. Because he doesn't ask anything that is easy according to our flesh. Matter of fact, it goes against our flesh 100%. Remember that. Obeying Christ goes against your flesh 100%. He tells us in verse 45, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. What the world goes through, you in obeying Christ, you're going to go through it as well. For if we love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. He said, you don't obey Christ just in perfect situations with perfect people. You obey Christ because it's the perfect thing to do. Whether life is perfect or not, and we know it isn't going to be. As a pastor, I've had people come up, you know, over the years when I was pastoring my own church, people would come in and say, oh, well, we were this part of this church and we're looking around because of this is what happened. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so many different times I'd sit there and say, do you know if God wants you to leave your other church? Well, we're just kind of looking. Do you know if God wants you to leave your church? Well, no, we really. Have you talked to your pastor about it? No. I think you need to obey Christ in this and figure out if he even wants you to visit other churches. And then also be reminded of this. Every church that you go to is going to look good at first, but then you're going to realize something. There's people. And with people comes imperfection and imperfect situations. But we still have a responsibility to follow Christ and to do good and to obey him the way that he wants us to. And it's not for the faint of heart. Romans chapter 7, this is the Apostle Paul and the struggles that he had when it came to just simple obedience. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. What is he saying? I hate these particular things, but I should not be doing them, but yet I do them anyway. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Think about it. Following Christ, is it a good thing? Absolutely. Obeying Christ, is a good thing? Absolutely. But in your flesh, is there any good thing? Nope. Your flesh doesn't want to follow Christ. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I want to do good, but guess what? Evil is there fighting me every step of the way. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What is he sitting here saying? I need to obey Christ. I know it's the right thing to do, but my flesh doesn't want to do it. It is a struggle. It is a battle. It is not for the faint of heart. Anything that we want to be successful at, that is important to us, we have to put our heart into it. People have asked me, you have 6 kids, and then I find out the first 4 were girls. Man, how do you do it? My heart's into it. That's the only reason why. My heart's into it. Each one of my kids have my heart. Marriage, same way. You want marriage to be successful? Your heart has to be into it. By the way, for marriage to be successful, both hearts have to be into it. A career, we want to enjoy our career, our heart has to be into it. Church, man, we want to, pastor just talked about how the pieces fitting together. That is a beautiful thing. That's people's heart involved in their local church and what God would have them to do. We give our heart to Christ when it comes to salvation. We must also give our heart in following Christ. Obeying Christ isn't for the faint of heart. We need to do good. We need to obey Christ. It needs our heart. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. When Jesus came down on this earth, he put his heart into reaching you. He put his heart into reaching me. At the very, very least, which is our reasonable service, we should be giving our heart back to him, not just for salvation, but in obeying him as well. I hope that this evening, this section on obeying Christ and following Christ has been an encouragement. Remember, Christianity isn't a feel-good religion. It is a do-good religion. God would have us to do what is right and what is necessary. And obeying Christ is right and it is necessary. I pray that you have a good rest of the week. Christmas is coming up here soon. Invite somebody to church. It is a great time of year to invite people. And a lot of times people are more receptive, you know, at this particular time. They hear about Jesus and hopefully they'll start asking questions. And maybe we'll just be right there at the right time saying, hey, I want to invite you to Wilton Baptist Church so you can hear more about Jesus Christ. Have a great week. God bless. Goodbye.